Welcome into the inaugural episode of In the Pen, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network, a podcast about relievers. Throughout the show, we're going to be diving into the bullpens throughout the league, giving you guys the latest news, updates, players who lost their jobs, players who are getting hurt, who's coming up the wing, to help you figure out saves and holds. Because let's face it, that is the category which we all know we have to stream, we all seem to struggle with throughout the season. So we wanted to give you this podcast to help figure this out, give you guys a leg up on this very important category. Joining me, as always, is Rick Graham. And Rick, I have to say, I didn't know if we'd ever have to ever be able to start this show with how the lockout was seeming. I didn't know when we'd start this, but we're getting a full 162, and that's pretty dang exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's all we could really ask for. And it's just, you know, it's my pleasure to be here and to be able to watch a full season of baseball when, you know, just a couple weeks ago was in doubt.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, you can find the show at on Twitter, in the pen pod. Find me at Twitter at Callen_Elsliger. Rick, where can they find you on Twitter if they want to have reliever questions? Because let's face it, you are the reliever expert when it comes to Pitcherlist.
Yeah, they can find me at I am Rick Graham on Twitter.
And throughout the next 2 weeks, we know draft season's coming up. Some of you may have drafts this weekend. Some of you more than likely are waiting till you get deeper into spring training, and we're going to break down all that. We're going to be breaking down all 30 teams, where their bullpen stands, who's going to be getting the saves, who's the next man up. So you can start obviously figuring out who you like to get the saves, but get those speculative guys in your minds towards the late rounds, or if someone does get hurt early on, you know immediately who to try and get rather than waiting and trying to analyze it then. But before we go, we wanted to do a quick sort of strategies talk. You know, it's always a question of how early do you draft saves. We're seeing it in early drafts that these elite closers are going in the second round in terms of 15 teams, third rounds in your standard 12, 10 team leagues. Rick, how do you generally draft saves or draft closers? Do you spend early on closers? I know I personally took Raisel Iglesias in the fourth round for the 15 team TGFBI, so which is a lot earlier, but the way it's going, I had to spend a little bit earlier. Are you in that train of thought, or what's your general strategy when it comes to grabbing your saves?
Yeah, that's actually pretty much on par with what I typically do. I guess it changes year to year, depending on, you know, how the market's valuing closers and, you know, just the situations around the league. But like for this year, yeah, I'm kind of in that, I'm not reaching really for Hader or Hendricks really early, but like that next tier with Presley, Iglesias, Edwin Diaz, that's like kind of, I want to get one of those guys and then wait a little bit and, you know, kind of reevaluate, you know, a couple rounds later.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree. Like I said, I got Iglesias in the fourth round, which is earlier than I would normally go, but the way closers are going, I like looking in that same tier. You have Iglesias, Class A, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
As we get closer to the season, we'll look into Rick's final ranks for the season, kind of dive deeper into some of these guys, have a little bit of rankings discussion, but we're going to get right into these teams because, you know, the American League, we kind of talk about that tier. There are a lot of guys who have the job kind of locked up, but there are still those confusing situations. There's guys I'm sure we're going to want to have deep discussions. Both of us are fans of teams in the American League, so we know this league a little bit better off the top of head. And I'm sure you'll pick on early which teams we actually root for, and hopefully you'll side with me rather than Rick, but we'll get into that when we get to it. But to start off, I don't want to start off with the Baltimore Orioles, but we're going to go in alphabetical order, and we're going to talk about the Baltimore Orioles. No, you're probably not looking for saves with Baltimore. You're not going to be sticking with the same guy throughout the season with saves with Baltimore. There may not be many save opportunities, but Rick, who are the names to know in this bullpen? Who's your first leg up in this competition, if it's even a competition?
Yeah, it's so... I mean, Tyler Wells was the guy last year who kind of, I thought coming into this season, was going to have the first chance at winning the closer role, but it sounds like they're stretching him out this spring, so it looks like Cole Sulcer would be the guy that I would, that's my, I guess, number one target here. But there's others, you know, Tanner Scott, you know, is someone who we shouldn't forget about, despite having a little bit of a down year last year. You know, command's always an issue with him, but if he ever could, you know, figure that out. He's a high K guy, and throws, you know, upper 90s from the left side. So there's some interesting pieces here, but, you know, it's the Orioles we're talking about. So how many save chances are they going to see?
Yeah, if all four other teams in the American League East improving this offseason are being Tampa Bay, we know where Baltimore is. We know we're going to be in the basement. Like I said, there's not going to be many save opportunities, but those small save opportunities for these lower level teams sometimes make the difference. So Tyler Wells, we did hear, I believe it was Brandon Hyde, said they are considering stretching him out. So that's something to keep an eye on. But if it doesn't go to bed, like it's Tanner Scott, be a great guy. Cole Sulzer has the experience, but it wouldn't even shock me if they go and get a veteran reliever if they're in on Richard Rodriguez or someone who's out there in free agency, late signing to fill that back end if they decide to stretch Tyler Wells out. But for sure. Yeah, this Baltimore bullpen's just, it's uninteresting, but keep an eye on it. Like we said, it could be the difference. Yeah. Continuing the AL East, the next team, it's the Boston Red Sox. And this is one that we want to go a little bit deeper into because it's another one that we don't have clear answers to. We think we have someone who is the best reliever in that bullpen, but they're stretching him out. So I'll say, Rick, this is your team. You know this team very well. So what's going on in Boston? Who do we want to look at for saves? Is there any deeper name that we're kind of not talking about compared to the standard names?
I think we're... So I've been, I think I have Matt Barnes on every team I've drafted so far. I know second half was really bad. There's a lot of concerns there, but I do think Whitlock has a legitimate chance to stick in the rotation, especially with Sale missing the start of the year. And I mean, if he's in the rotation, there's, I guess you could consider Jake Diekman being a threat to Barnes. That's really it. So I think, especially, you know, Barnes is pretty cheap right now in drafts. I think that's a person, you know, you got to really look at in that 200 range for that value.
Yeah, you talk about the bad second half. I'm just going to put numbers to it. 6.48 ERA in 16 2/3 innings. Opponents of 269 against him. 4 home runs allowed in only those 16 games, 16 innings. So.
It was
very rough. Like you said, they haven't really addressed the bullpen. Besides, they signed Jake Diekman, who is another one who's free in drafts, and it wouldn't shock me if he gets into it. I still don't know personally if I am buying fully that Whitlock's going to be in the rotation right away. They did make those moves in the rotation, to get Michael Wacha, Rich Hill. I know Chris Sale is hurt, but if they have other guys in the minors, it wouldn't shock me if they go make another move. They just signed Trevor Story. So what if they say, forget it, instead of stretching him out, let's go trade for someone from Oakland or trade from someone from Cincinnati. So I'd like to see Whitlock in rotation. That change up, as someone who writes the nastiest pitches article once a week, is incredible. I gif it almost every single time. I'm on shift for that article. It's so much fun to watch. But I still think that he's in the running for the closer job, and it's a three-headed monster that I don't love. I would buy into taking Matt Barnes late just because why not? Like you said, his draft price is very free right now, but it's the situation I'm kind of trying to steer clear from, even though we know how good Boston is supposed to be this year.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not something worth spending a premium pick or, you know, fab on or whatever. But if Barnes is still there late in your drafts or, you know, at a reasonable value, I think it's worth a shot. And I agree with you with Whitlock. I don't think he's going to end up in the rotation, but I guess the Red Sox fan in me really wants to see he's got a really good three pitch mix that I would just love to see, you know, going 5 or 6 innings every start.
He's a lot of, like you said, that change up is
incredible.
But moving over to Chicago and another team that has this very interesting bullpen situation where we know who the closer is. We know it's Liam Hendricks. We know he's likely the first closer off the board. But behind him, the next man up, they made a lot of moves, and they have a player who we should probably discuss in this segment of Craig Kimbrel. Liam Hendricks is the guy. Do you think Craig Kimbrel stays in Chicago as the next man up? Do you think he gets traded? How are you ranking him? How are you valuing him? And then who's the if he does go, if he does get traded, who then becomes the next guy in that pen?
Yeah, I think, you know, the later, obviously, the later we get, you know, closer we get to the regular season, it's looking like he might actually stay, which is a huge upset considering where, you know, people were talking about him last November. So, yeah, it looks like he might stay. There's still teams out there. I mean, the Padres are obviously a team that needs some help. There's other teams, but yeah, if he does get traded, if something happens, I mean, they just threw a lot of money at Kendall Graveman. So I think Graveman might end up being the next man up. You know, Aaron Bummer's had a really good season last year. He's just filthy from the left side. I don't know if they would use him in a closer role, but I think it's, you know, this is one of the deeper bullpens in all of baseball, even with or without Kimbrel. So they got a lot of options here between, you know, Bummer, Graveman, Crochet, Joe Kelly's, you know, going to be back probably earlier in the season. So they got some options there.
Yeah, we know Tony La Russa likes to have his one guy stick with it. He's not going to, if something does, God forbid, happen to Liam Hendricks, which would stink for fantasy, we'll find out the next man up pretty quickly. I would tend to agree with you that it probably would be Kendall Graveman, just from the experience he had when he was with Houston and Seattle last year. I do think Craig Kimbrel still gets traded. The more that goes on, like I said, it seems less and less likely, but if you ask me today, I still would buy that he gets traded. Like, there's a lot of teams that could use a reliever more in the National League, which we'll get into next week, but it definitely seems like something they need to do. But and because of that, where would you, I know we kind of talk with rankings, how do you value someone like Kimbrel with, in terms of draft capital? Like, where would you slot him in? Someone we think should be getting saves and likely get traded, but do you draft him, I guess?
Yeah.
Or do you kind of look elsewhere?
Because he's been sliding, as, you know, it makes sense. The closer we get to the season, he's still being in Chicago, he's sliding down draft boards. But, he struggled when he got to, you know, the White Sox, but still 42.6% K rate last year. I mean, he bounced back in a big way for the majority of the season, and I would definitely he's worth taking a chance on if, you know, again, not paying like a top 150 pick, or maybe I might even not, you know, go top 200 with him. But if he gets traded to one of those AL or NL West team, like, you know, the Dodgers just lost Jansen. I don't know if they would, you know, consider Kimbrel, but, you know, them, the Padres, a couple good teams out there that really need or really could shore up their bullpen. So he's worth a flyer for sure.
I would tend to agree with you. It's going to be interesting over the next 2 weeks to see where he does. Obviously, if it does happen, we'll break it right down in terms of the impact. But as of now, I'm kind of steering clear of him. I have a draft this coming weekend. I'm likely going to shy away from him in the league where I need saves, just because I don't know what's going to happen with that. I'm not investing. Like I said, he still is falling, but there are other relievers that I like better around where he's going in terms of getting saves. But it's worth the flyer still. And for some people, I'm personally just risk averse and will be avoiding it. But the next big star closer in the American League happens to be the next team that comes out, and that is the Cleveland Guardians. Eniel Manuel Clase, he emerged last year, was dominant, part of that Corey Kluber trade. So we know he's likely going to be getting the job out there. After that, I'm kind of shrugging my shoulders because there's not much else after him. Rick, help me out here. Is there anything of value outside of Clase in Cleveland? If something does happen to him, or who would be the next guy? I have no idea.
Well, I guess the first name that sticks out is, you know, James Karinchak, who really kind of just fell apart after the whole, you know, sticky stuff rules were implemented. I don't know if that's related or not, but, you know, he just was not the same guy after that. And, you know, he's still young. He still has the upper, you know, 90s velo. He's got a hammer for a breaking ball. He's got some control issues, but, like, what are we going to get from him? Are we going to get 2020 Karinchak or 21 Karinchak? So, you know, obviously an interesting arm, worth watching. And I think that, you know, there's two other names there, like outfielder turn reliever Anthony Gauche. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that name right. But yeah, lefty throwing 100 miles per hour. And he only got 6.2 innings last year, but they were really good innings. And yeah, there's some upside there. And I would also like to shout out Nick Sandlund, who's, I think, one of the more underrated relievers, especially for save hold leagues. Because the only real issue with him, though, is injury. He's had some injury issues, and but as long as he's healthy, he's a really good reliever.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's a lot of more fun stories in baseball than Anthony Gose and what he's done, coming up as a hitter. We remember his days in Toronto, then coming around and being a back end of the bullpen reliever in Cleveland. I would love to see him get some save opportunities there and become more fantasy relevant, but it was a lot of fun seeing him make that transition. I don't know what to expect from James Karinczak. Like I said, it's been very up and down. The sticky stuff mandate may have done something to him and really struggled, but it's Class A's job to lose. But if you need the holds, Karinczak is going to be the guy, because like you said, you know, Sandin's fun, Ghost is fun, but you know, James Karinczak has the big name, so he's up there for saves and holds. And if you need the holds, I definitely... Cleveland will be competitive like they always are, but... So, I do like James Karinczak this year in that sort of league, but Class A is right in that high-end tier that I'm targeting, like you said, with other relievers in the American League. Mm-hmm. Continuing in the American League Central, it's another team that we don't know what's going on with their bullpen, and they are another team that has up in the air. AJ Hinch didn't want to name a closer last year, Named the closer on the last day. People say it was a media hijinks, but that closer was Gregory Soto. But there's other guys that have been active in the offseason and adding to that bullpen. So, Rick, help me sort out this Detroit bullpen. This is a team that improved in the offseason and should be fairly decent, maybe even competing for a wild card spot or potentially that central. But who would be the go-to guy for saves? Do you target this bullpen? Help me sort this out.
Yeah, I think Soto's still the guy to target, especially, you know, they added Andrew Chafin recently, so I think that gives them like that second or probably their primary, you know, lefty to come in and get lefties out. So I think that gives Soto a little bit more wiggle room possibly in the closer role, but there's still I don't really love where he's being, you know, drafted right now, so I haven't really been staying away for the most part, especially with the way Michael Fulmer kind of turned things around in the bullpen. I think that's someone to definitely keep an eye on, is, you know, if Soto struggles quickly out of the gate, Fulmer could really, you know, come in right away and just take that role and run with it.
Yeah, you saw what he did once he was handed the closer job last year, and he really turned himself around. It's a name that in saves plus hold league, I would move up my draft board, because you know he's going to be in that back end. When you have these closer committees or these closer competitions, it doesn't matter which one you go. If it's not as much of a challenge for me to decide, you know one of them is going to be getting the saves, and if they falter, then they'll slow out like down and be right there for getting the holds. I do like what you said about the addition of Chafin, be making it more open for Soto, and I do think he will be the guy to start off this year. But I'm not confident he keeps the job because of how AJ Hinch generally managed his bullpen and how unwilling he was to name a closer last year. It wouldn't shock me if they make a quick switch or do it sort of situational if it's a more important situation. The eighth, they go to Soto. If it's like more lefties, and then go to Fulmer in the ninth. So it's one of those bullpens we're probably going to be following very closely during the season, trying to keep you up to date, but I'm likely, for if you need just saves, steering clear of it. Soto's price has been rising, and it's still a situation that I'm weary of because of how good Fulmer is in that back end.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, it is, though, the one thing I will say is the Tigers did a lot this offseason. They, you know, especially if they got Torkelson and Riley Green coming up, they could be a fun team that could win a lot more games than we're used to seeing from them last couple of years.
As a pure baseball fan, I can't wait to watch Tiger games this year, especially if, like you said, if Green and Torkelson are up.
Yeah. With
already a addition of Javier Baez and a good young rotation, it's going to be fun. And they've added starters with Rodriguez and Pineda, too, that can keep them in games. It's not going to be a total just offensive show. So it will provide for plenty of save opportunities. The question is who gets them? Yeah. And hopefully we can find a clear solution, because I don't want too many committees. I mean, it makes for good content for us, but it makes it very confusing trying to manage a fantasy roster around it. But another bullpen that has, you know, it doesn't seem like it should be as complicated, but has been generating a lot of conversation on fantasy baseball Twitter, and it's the Houston Astros. And, you know, we say Ryan Presley is one of these elite tiered guys. We know he's driven drafted in that same tier as Class A. But should he? They've made some moves in the bullpen. They've made some trades last year to upgrade that bullpen. There's a lot of talk that maybe Presley should not be as safe as we're putting him out to be in fantasy. Where do you stand as a debater? Do you think Presley belongs in that elite tier, or does he have more competition in the back end than we're kind of thinking?
I think Presley's in that second tier, I think, and I think he's pretty locked into that. You know, after the Hendricks and Haters and possibly another person on this list coming up shortly. But yeah, I'm pretty confident that they brought in, you know, Hector Neris, who I have always been, you know, pretty high on, and I'm a big Hector Neris fan, but I don't think he's really a threat to close out games. So I think they brought him in to shore up, you know, basically shore up the eighth inning, kind of like Kendall Graveman. They brought in Kendall Graveman to do it for the second half of last year. So I'm all in on Presley this year in that second tier of closers. And I, you know, great numbers last year. I mean, he's been pretty reliable over the last few years. So I'm all in on Presley again.
So would you take Presley, or would you take Emmanuel Clase? Just in a vacuum, ooh, I guess.
I think I'm going with Presley just because of the track record's a little bit more. I mean, Clase really was just dominant and found ways to get more swings and misses on with his cutter last year, and it was great to see. But yeah, I think I'm still leaning Presley, but they're like back to back in my rankings right now.
I didn't mention it when we talked about Cleveland, but Clase is another one of those pitchers that when I'm giving pitches for nastiest pitches, when he pitches, I know I have to watch, because there will probably be a cutter or two that belongs in that article, and that's another dominant. I tend to lean this way. I definitely still think Presley belongs in that tier, but I'm kind of more on the weary side of Neris. I know he shouldn't be as big of a threat. He's probably more, like you said, as a guy who's brought in to shore up the back end, be as similar to how they used Kendall Graveman last year. But he has that closer experience that always makes me slightly wary that if something does happen to Presley, I don't think Baker will hesitate to make some sort of switch. So he belongs in that tier because there are a lot of bullpens that have this similar situation, but I would tend to draft the other two guys in that tier over him. I think this, I'm slightly concerned, but I haven't gotten Presley anywhere yet, but it's not for a lack of trying. It's just there's other guys that I tend to draft around that time, but I'm a little bit more concerned with you, but I do think Presley, he has all that upside in the world, and we know how good Houston can be. So it's a concern for me, but it's not preventing me from drafting him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I get that. Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, Neris is there, so. But Houston's also, is Houston going to take a, I mean, they lost some pieces. They got Verlander coming back, but, you know, it's going to be a different team this year, I think, without Correa and, you know, a couple years removed from those, you know, dominant Houston teams.
Yeah, I'm very curious about what Houston's going to be, especially with how Seattle's up and coming. Mm-hmm. Texas, we're probably not there yet, but the offensive acquisitions will make them clearly a better team. The Angels, you know, they always have a great offense. So that West is going to be interesting. Houston's always been the team. They're probably still my favorite to win at division, but I don't think it's as locked and loaded as set it and forget it as it's been in the past years. But they will be intriguing. Speaking of intriguing, next up is the Kansas City Royals, and they've kind of, they're another team that doesn't really have that that set pen. They've kind of gone back and forth with guys in the back end with Stama, Barlow. They made a trade this offseason to get Amir Garrett. So where does that leave you in terms of Kansas City? Which one do you think is the favorite? Do in a saves and holds league, do you jump them up your board because it's similar to that that Detroit situation where it is the competition? How do you, where do you play? Where do you come out with this, with this pen?
I mean, Barlow's my favorite, the closer, and I think he's pretty safe, pretty locked in there. So looking after that, yeah, Garrett's a good addition for them. I think, you know, he really struggled last year, but there's, I'm not totally, you know, giving up on him. I think there's better ways to probably get the most out of him. He's really just had issues with righties, like really bad issues against right-handed hitters. So either he figures out a changeup or you just have to be really careful with him. You know, Staumont, he's got electric stuff and he keeps like, he just, I feel like he hasn't really just, he hasn't really hit that ceiling, you know, that potential that we thought he has, you know, with strikeouts or just being the dominant reliever we thought he is. But, you know, I wouldn't totally shock me if he had a huge jump this year and, you know, became one of the better save hold options.
This is the perfect team to take a chance on someone like Amir Garrett. You know, they're kind of, they're trying to take this step. They got exciting prospects coming up on the offensive side, but why not take the chance? I do agree with you. Barlow's pretty locked in. I actually drafted him in my TGFBI team and feeling pretty confident as my second closer. And I really like how that ended up in terms of the pen. 29.7 K percentage last year compared to Stalma. It's just over 27%. He's got the slightly more dominant stuff. And, you know, he was really important down the stretch. Staumont is very good in a saves plus hold league. It's like I said with Michael Fulmer, I'm moving him up my board because you know he's going to be right there. He's going to be in the competition for it. He will be a pretty dominant, pretty solid back end of the pen guy who comes in those hold situations to get the ball to Barlow. Wouldn't even shock me if they do a slight committee type where Staumont sneaks in 5 to 7 saves, something around that, just because some crucial situation, midi order, let's go Barlow in the 8th and then Staumont. So I'll take a shot on him late in regular drafts for saves, speculative as well, but Barlow's right there in that kind of middle tier of relievers, some of that I like to grab as my closer too. So another name that I'm very excited. I really like what I saw from Barlow last year, and he's kind of become a good target of mine that I'm looking to in my drafts.
Yeah, he's one of the more safer, you know, mid-tier RP2s you can take. And I just want to shout out one other deep sleeper name, Dylan Coleman. If you get a chance to watch him, he's got absolutely, I mean, touches 100, you know, great slider, great breaking ball. He's another, this whole bullpen throws, they just throw hard, and like they could be really, it could be a really sneaky, like, good bullpen this year. So, and they're gonna need it too with, you know, they, I know they signed Granke, but the rotation still has a lot of question marks.
When you mention a name, I make a full-on mental note, whether it's for obviously for you, for your leagues, but for me, for Nasty Pitch, if he touches 100, he's someone I want to see in action, see if I can get him into an article this year. I'm making it a mission now. If I don't get Dylan Coleman in a Nasty Pitches article at some point, I failed you, Rick. So that is my job now. But you said safe, and we'll move over to someone who probably is one of the safer relievers in the entire American League, and that's Raisel Iglesias. There's no competition for saves out here. In Anaheim, they've made a lot of moves to improve that bullpen, and that's great. But you know Iglesias, he's got a 4-year contract. He's going to be the closer in Anaheim. There's no question he belongs in that tier. He's right there. He's probably number 3 for relievers for me. After you go to Hayter Hendricks, he will be the first reliever off the board out after those. Just with how safe it is, and we know Anaheim's be around there. But after that, there's a lot of names that are intriguing, and in holds, and trying to get holds, there's a lot of good names. Walk me through some of these names. Who do you think this, if something does happen to Iglesias, who do you expect to be the next man up, and other names to keep an eye on in the bullpen that they've made a mission to improve this offseason?
Yeah, they've gone out and added a bunch of names, a lot of names that, you know, we have been around for a while. I'm a huge Ryan Tepera fan. I thought he was one of the more underrated free agents last year, and then he had an unreal season, both Chicago teams. Just, you know,
that's great. MVP vote yeah, getter, Ryan Tepera to you.
That's right. Well deserved.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I still amazes me how he got that.
That's so funny.
Stories like that in baseball.
Only in baseball.
Yep.
So yeah, I think Tepera would be the next man up. I mean, there's a name that sticks out to me. It's Archie Bradley. He's, you know, closed out games before. I'm not a huge Archie Bradley fan. I think, you know, the stuff is good, but I don't know. The strikeout numbers, the swing and miss numbers are always been just kind of lacking. And, you know, he scares me a little bit for, you know, high leverage work. You know, they spent a good amount of money on Aaron Loop. And I think that was a good signing. I don't know. He's coming off a career year that he's definitely not going to, you know, reproduce, but he's a good lefty for them. And they didn't really have a good left-handed reliever option. So yeah, between those guys and, you know, Mike Mayers was really good in the COVID, you know, shortened year. Can he struggled last year. Can he get back to that 2020, you know, to get back to those numbers? So yeah, there's a lot of potential in this bullpen behind Iglesias.
So just to make sure I have it in my head, if something did happen to Iglesias, you'd say Tepera is probably
I'm going Tepera, yeah.
Okay, I would tend to agree. You mentioned Archie Bradley, and that's worth mentioning. He has struggled. His K percentage has dropped drastically over the past three seasons, but he has the closer experience, like we mentioned, and managers tend to value that. Joe Maddon, I don't think it matters as much as it would for other managers, but it wouldn't shock me if they give the ball to Bradley because of that. Obviously, let's hope nothing does happen to Raisel Iglesias. He's another reliever I have on my TGFBI team. If something does happen, then I may be in some trouble, but hopefully he stays healthy.
I want to say one thing on Iglesias, because this is that I saw this the other day, that so they're not he's only going to pitch one inning at a time this year, which, you know, in the past, he's been like a two inning guy. And so I think it's funny. I think it's interesting that like Milwaukee kind of did that with Hader last year. They made him more of a one inning guy, and he had, you know, the best season of his career, which is saying a lot considering how good he's been. But I think Iglesias, I'm torn between him being in like tier one with Hendricks and Hader and like that second tier with like Edwin Diaz, Presley and whatnot. So I'm really high. I think, like you said, you might have drafted him too high. I think that's about right for where he should be going, like right after those top two.
Yeah, I was going to say, would he be, we talked about him in that tier of class, say, in Presley, or would he be your favorite of that tier, or do you prefer one of them to him?
No, he's definitely like locked in into the third, like the third closer right now. He's like kind of in his own like 1A tier, 1B tier to me.
Yeah, and I think the 4-year contract he got this offseason only cements that he's the guy, and there's no concern for that. But like we said, they've done a lot of improvements, and it makes for an exciting bullpen. Same thing with saves and holds. This is the bullpen I'm probably going to be targeting because they've done so much with relief help. And if Iglesias is only going that one inning, then we're going to see a lot of guys trying to push for that eighth inning role, which could be make for some exciting opportunities to get holds, and we'll keep you up to date on all those developments. Over to Minnesota, so they're the next team up on this list, and you know, I think this is another one that's we kind of know who the closer is going to be. We've gone through all these years. Last year it was Taylor Rogers or Alex Colome. The year before that, Taylor Rogers was in the competition about people. But now it seems that Taylor Rogers is kind of the guy. I don't think there's many people who are going to push him for saves. Am I missing anybody in this pen, or is this Taylor Rogers' job to lose finally?
It's not only Taylor Rogers' job to lose, but with all the moves, Minnesota is clearly they're trying to win now. So I think there was, you know, there was a lot of concern with like, oh, Rogers is probably going to, the Twins are probably going to try to trade him this year. They're, you know, they might, you know, rebuild this year, but after all the moves they've made, I think Rogers is, yeah, he's set, locked in as their closer for now, and he is probably my favorite value. I know he's like flying up draft boards, but like he's still worth the value as a top 10 closer option in the league.
Yeah, just looking at the at Fantasy Pros with their ADP, he's currently ranked 189th overall in terms of players. He's a 21st reliever. This is counting some sparps. You take out a couple sparps, he's not even in the top 15 for relievers. And you've mentioned he is flying up boards, and he deserves to. The Twins have made a lot of moves to improve, and I don't think they're done. It wouldn't shock me if they bring in another starting pitcher if they're in that sweepstakes for a Montas or a Manaea. And that makes this team very exciting. And Taylor Rogers, he's got really good stuff. He's got the experience. There's always a concern of, oh, he's a lefty. Lefty shouldn't be closing games. That doesn't matter in my mind. Last year, he struck out over 13 strikeouts per nine. I can't talk right now. It's not a good thing. 35% K percentage. Just dominant. And with how good Minnesota is going to be, I would very much agree with you that he is one of my favorite values. He's definitely a target of mine when it comes to drafts and someone who I want to get on my rosters. But we got to talk about who the next man up is, because you never know. There could be some, they could want him to be sort of the coming in the eighth and get the important guys in the order out and then give the ball to somebody else. So who would be this next guy if you want to take a shot on this Twins bullpen? Because we, like we said, they're going to be a good team this year. Who is next man up? Who are some names to keep an eye on in case they make this more of a committee or if something does happen to Rogers?
Yeah, there's two names that stick out to me, and there's, you know, Tyler Duffy, who he had a 3.8. He had a really down year last year, but like he got it going the second half of the year a little bit. I think he might have been dealing with some nagging injuries. So I would love to see a nice bounce back year from Duffy, and I'm not holding my breath or anything, but he'd probably be my favorite to be the next man up. And then the kind of sleeper, or he's not really a sleeper anymore, but Jorge Alcala, who really was dominant over the last month of the year last year and has shown the ability to be like a big time swing and miss guy. And he's just kind of been inconsistent, hasn't really put it all together, but you know, if this could be his big breakout year, and he has all the stuff to be, you know, the closer for this team.
Definitely worth keeping an eye on. There's a lot of excitement in this pen. Alcala is, you said, he's got that good swing and miss stuff, over 26% K percentage last year. Tyler Duffy is a common name that he became sort of the eighth inning guy to get the ball to Colomayor Rogers last year. So there's a lot of excitement for him too. It's a good pen. They did sign Joe Smith, who's another name who has experience, who wouldn't surprise me if he finds his way into that mix, but Minnesota's gonna be good. And it's fun to see them going for it after a dreadful 2021 season, but you know, it'll be interesting. They made a lot of moves, including a trade with my New York Yankees. And that's the next team on this list. And we know how good the bullpen has been the past few years. They've always made a record being good. Everyone takes a chance on these late Yankees and speculating for holds. We know the closer is Aroldis Chapman, but he's getting a lot of conversation because he is sort of on the downturn lately. He's starting to not look fully like himself. He's become a bit more hittable. So there's concern about whether he can keep the job. And he's, you know, how do you, like, start with that? How do you view Aroldis Chapman? Is he sort of locked in safe, or are you kind of avoiding him because of some of these concerns?
I think his role is safe. I'm avoiding him. I have him, you know, outside of the top 10 right now. I'm worried about just, it's stuff's been declining, and he's been doing a good job. He's added, you know, he added a splitter like last year. He's throwing the slider more. He's trying to, you know, combat the velocity loss. But I don't see this, you know, ticking back upwards for him. Maybe he could completely surprise me and have, you know, a big bounce back year here. But I'm a little concerned with him.
Yeah, I'm a Yankees fan, so you start to see he has those stretches where it's, okay, this is Aroldis Chapman. When he had that stretch last year when that splitter was working, it's like, man, this is some of the best Aroldis Chapman I've seen since he became a Yankee. And then he has the stretches where he's getting crushed, and getting saved by triple plays to get a save and losing the job. And so it is concerning. Outside of the top 10, maybe slightly extreme, because though he has those struggles, his job is pretty safe. I don't see Boone making a drastic change to pull him, but if he does make a change, the Yankees have plenty of options to go through in saves and holds league. They make these guys extremely valuable. Of the, I would say probably there's three guys who are right there for potentially go there. Who would be the next man up? Who's your favorite of those three relievers? Or is there someone who I've not fully mentioned that you're kind of sleeping, people maybe sleeping on?
I don't know who between Chad Green and, you know, Jonathan Loaisiga. I don't really know. It's tough. It's like a coin flip between those two to see who's the next man up, because they both had over, you know, they both had five saves last year. Green had six. So, you know, Boone shown, you know, willingness to, you know, put them out there for saves. So I think I'd lean Loaisiga, because I think there's more, I think, to him. You know, the K rate wasn't great, but like, you just watch the stuff and you're like, okay, there's more here. There's more swing and miss here. So like, I think Loaisiga really has a huge, you know, his huge upside in a late inning role, you know, moving forward for them. And then, yeah, Clay Holmes would be the third guy who really, you know, took off and was at a whole nother level when he got to the Yankees last year from after pitching for Pittsburgh. So, you know, great slider. He's probably behind those two, but he's definitely worth looking at for holds leagues.
Yeah, the Yankees, you know, they're going to use their bullpen. There's only one guy you know who's going to go deep in the games, and that's Gerrit Cole. Montgomery's been kind of like that, but you know, they're going to ease Severino back. Tyone's going to be eased back because he's coming off an injury. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for this bullpen, and to save plus holds, this is a bullpen that you clearly want to target because they have the dominant back end. And you know, we talk about the White Sox having one of the best pens in the American League, and they're right up there. The Yankees are right up there as well. And because of that, I'm trying to get as many. If I'm looking for holds, this is an easy bullpen to target because they usually tend to have clear roles where it is 6th, 7th inning, probably Green and Holmes.
Yeah.
Loaisiga will come in the 8th, set it up, and Chapman will get the 9th. It's pretty predictable. And, you know, as a Yankee fan, you know what you're expecting. And if you're as a fantasy player, it makes it kind of easy to call. But if something does happen to Chapman, or if he does this lose the job, which there should be some concerns about, but not extreme, there's a guy who can step right in with Loaisiga who has electric stuff and was so much fun to watch last year.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, Class A was kind of 2 years ago or a couple years ago. He's got great stuff, but the strikeout numbers aren't there. And then, you know, last year he kind of put it all together. I feel like Loaisiga could be like that this year, where we're going to see like great ERA, great whip, huge strikeout numbers from him potentially.
So we go from a very interesting bullpen in New York to a bullpen that maybe shouldn't even take a full minute to talk about, and that is the Oakland Athletics. They have been selling everybody off and are clearly going through a rebuild. And that makes getting saves from this pen very difficult, at least compared to Baltimore. We know who the top guy is, and that's Lou Trevino. But, you know, do you target Oakland closer when we know they're going to be this bad? Like, what do you do with Lou Trevino? You know he's going to have the job, but it's going to be for a team that probably will come in last place. How do you consider that when you're going through drafts?
Yeah, they're almost back into like Baltimore, you know, territory now, where sure, if it's like one of my last two picks, maybe I'll consider someone like Trevino, mm-hmm. but I don't really love the stuff there. If AJ Puck were to somehow, mm-hmm. you know, put things together, and like, I mean, he would be an interesting name to see at the end of games, but the rest of this bullpen is just like, it's really, I don't, it's, there's not much going on here.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there's any names to look out for after. AJ Puck would probably be the same one that would come to mind for me, but maybe they stretch him out as a starter.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Lou Trevino could be gone in 2 weeks by opening day, and that would make this bullpen even worse. So I think we're pretty safe to say let's just move on. Don't touch any Oakland Athletic reliever. If you need saves, you know it's going to be Lou Trevino. But keep in mind that this is Oakland, and they can trade him off any single day. So that makes this a very difficult thing to try and predict. On to a much more interesting bullpen where you have one guy who's going to be getting saves in Oakland. You've got 4 or 5 guys who can potentially be getting saves in Seattle. So when it comes to that pen and with drafts, who is the favorite in your mind? What do you make of a Seattle bullpen? Where there are many names and it's an intrigue. It's going to be a very good bullpen. But as a fantasy manager, we're going to be scratching our heads the entire season trying to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah, this is, they're like, I think my, you know, I nicknamed them. They're like, they're Tampa Bay West now. They're going to be really, their bullpen's going to be deep 1 through 8. They're going to all have, you know, they're all going to be really good, but who's going to be closing each night? We're never going to know. I don't see this ever playing out as, you know, one guy just, I don't think one guy is going to run away with this job, especially with Ken Giles. I think Ken Giles would have been that guy, but he's still kind of coming back from Tommy John. I guess he was throwing, I guess he topped out at 95 in his bullpen the other day, which is good for someone coming back from Tommy John, but we're used to him around, you know, 97-ish. So, you know, I'm still targeting Paul Sewald here, and just because at least I'm going to get strikeouts with whatever saves he gets. I guess the same could be said about Diego Castillo too, if you really if you're in deeper leagues. But yeah, those are the names, and I mean Drew Steckenrider could end up leading this bullpen in saves, and good for him if he does. But I'm not really targeting him. I'd rather take the other guys with some more upside.
Yeah, I think personally Castillo would be my favorite in this pen just because he has that closer experience, but he did falter it in the end. So
yeah,
it's kind of a shrug emoji. Ken Giles has the experience, but he's coming off Tommy John, but they did sign him knowing that. So maybe they throw him back in. In saves and holds, it doesn't matter. These guys are high on the board because we know how good Seattle's going to be, and we don't have to play this game. But if you're looking for saves, you're going to be shrugging. We're going to try our best to keep you updated, but I feel like every week we're going to be coming on the show and be like, well, this guy has the job. And then next week, oh, nope, we lied. It's another person. So it's going to be interesting. I know you kind of said Sewald will be your favorite, but do you target someone in Seattle knowing that, hey, if this hits, I've got a gold mine with how good Seattle can be? Or you just kind of know what it's going to be and you avoid it if you're just looking at in a roto league where you know you just need saves?
No, that's because they made a lot of good moves this offseason. I think their lineups, you know, Winker's a nice addition. Rotation looks all right. They're gonna win, you know, 80 plus games probably. So I'm taking whoever's available in the last round or two. So if someone wants to take Sewald early, then okay, I'll, you know, take a chance on Castillo or Giles late, or, you know, vice versa. So I do want to get some sort of exposure here. It just pretty much depends on who I can get late and, you know, take a lottery ticket on.
Yeah, I probably would just take the flyer late, which may, in a vacuum, I prefer Castillo, but that may mean I'm taking a late round shot on a Steckenrider or a Giles and hoping and praying and seeing what happens. But, you know, like you said, saves and holds, doesn't matter. Keep these guys on your list and try and get one or two of them because it's going to be good. If you need just saves, you take a late shot and hope you hit, but you probably try and find someone a little safer, unless you feel like playing the waiver wire game off season, which we'll help you out with, but will be difficult for this season, that's for sure. You talk about Tampa out west, so let's talk about Tampa out east. This is another bullpen that I'm going to shrug my shoulders with. I think this year maybe for once actually a little bit easier to tell who's going to be the closer out there. It seems like it's Andrew Kittredge, but this is Tampa. So are there any other names to keep an eye out there?
Yeah, it's in air quotes, it's Andrew Kittredge right now. But I mean, the whole, again, they're returning a pretty deep bullpen who, you know, Kevin Cash is not going to be afraid to use any of these guys in the ninth inning, you know, of a one or two run game. So he, whether it's Fairbanks, Chargot, Fireisen, Whistler, they're just, you know, they lost a couple guys and they're still pretty loaded back there. But yeah, I don't hate where, you know, Kittredge isn't too expensive right now. And he's, you know, he was coming off an all-star year. He's definitely, I can't blame anyone for taking a shot on him at his current value, but it's just bound to be a headache, you know, at some point this season.
Yeah. It's another one I'm probably steering clear from. I'll throw a dart late on someone like a Pete Fairbanks or a Chargot, but you know, Kittredge is the guy, but we know how Kevin Cash runs things in Tampa. We know how unpredictable the bullpen is. So take what I said about Seattle, that you take a chance on these guys in saves and holds and don't worry. But if you're looking for saves, I'd prefer Kittredge than any of these Seattle guys if you just need saves, because I feel like it's a little bit more safer, but it's probably the same thing. Just hope and pray that you pick the right guy if you're looking for saves. And if these are your guys who are relying on saves, you're probably going to be listening to the show a lot, trying to play the waiver wire game.
Hey, more listeners for us.
Hey, how about, I'm all for it. It's going to be there's a lot to talk about when it comes to bullpens, and we're going to bring it to you. So we're close to wrapping up with these teams, and we'll go out to Texas, which is another one that, you know, we kind of talk about how things are a little more safe here. I feel a lot of these teams aren't so safe, and Texas is another one of those guys. I think they'd be a perfect fit to go get a Craig Kimbrel, but I don't see it happening. So as of right now, Joe Barlow seems to be a favorite. He had a pretty up and down season last year, but kind of settled into the role late for a not so good team. Is there anyone out there to compete for a job? Do you put him in sort of a safe as you can get in Texas, or is it another one where you're not really touching?
He's safe at least to start the season, and then it really comes down to Jonathan Hernandez and Jose Leclerc's health, you know, midway through the year, because I think both of those guys are better options for them as far as, you know, handling late, you know, closer duties. But it looks like Barlow's going to start the year, and he was, I think the numbers, you know, are a little bit inflated here. I don't think he was as good as those they show, but he's got decent stuff. He'll, you know, shouldn't lose the job to Greg Holland or Spencer Patton, but who knows? I think he loses it eventually to Hernandez or Leclerc, but if you need saves right out of the gate, yeah, Barlow's a good option.
The Greg Holland minor league contract, actually, I wouldn't say, you know, it shouldn't be news, but it raised my eyebrows a little bit more because of, like I've kind of said throughout the show, the experience he had back in there. He shouldn't be a threat for these saves, but if Barlow does struggle, I could see Holland kind of stepping in, because he did have that role in Kansas City. He had that big years in 2015 when they won the World Series. So I could see him stepping in if something does happen to Barlow. Maybe, like you said, they do go to Leclerc or Hernandez when they come back from injury, but you know, it's another one that I'm probably avoiding. I don't know how good Texas actually is going to be, but if they are good, then it's, you know, Barlow doesn't fully excite me. I'd rather take the shot on hoping I get it right with Seattle and Tampa later in the draft than go with Barlow, who seems to have the job, but you know, for how long? He doesn't have the peripherals that someone like in the Tampa bullpen or the Seattle bullpen would have. But at least we can wrap it up with a very safe closer, and that is out in Toronto with Jordan Romano. They've been committed to him. You know, last year it started out early. You know, Julian Merriweather was the big hype, and oh my gosh, he was great. He dominated the Yankees and made us look foolish, and it's like, oh boy, Julian Merriweather's thing. And now I haven't heard his name all offseason. You know, Jordan Romano's a guy. He's locked in. He was great last year. He's safe. There's all these questions about, will Toronto add someone like Kenley Jansen or Craig Kimbrel? they haven't done it, and I don't think they're going to. So Romano, he's a huge winner this offseason because they haven't added him there for fantasy. So he's going to be very safe out there. Where do you slot him in for those sort of tiers? Do you put him in because of how safe the job is? Do you put in with some of the earlier tiers we talked about, or is he down a tier? Sort of where do you consider Romano? He's safe, but you know, how much do you trust him?
Yeah. Because that was a team that everyone was projecting, like, oh, they're going to sign Ake, they're going to sign someone, mm-hmm. you know, even if it's Alex Colomé, they're going to bring someone else in. And then they brought in Yimi Garcia, but I don't think he's a real threat to Romano. So I have Romano's on the, like, tier 2-3, you know, edge for me, where he's right after Class A. But I don't know. They were committed to him. I feel a little like unsure that they're like 100% committed to him in case, you know, if something, they liked using him earlier in games. That's the only thing. And like you mentioned, Julian Merriweather, and I don't think he's at any threat right now, but what if he does the same thing he did last year? He comes out of the gate looking dominant and then I don't know, maybe they switch things up, but I have Romano and right outside of the tier 2, possibly tier 2, probably tier 3 range right now with like the Giovanni Gallegos of the world.
Yeah, looking on Fantasy Pros, he's a 9th reliever off the board, and that seems about right. He's right around the same ADP rankings in terms of the Aroldis Chapman, Edwin Diaz, that sort of Giovanni Gallegos, Kenley Jansen, that sort of range. I think that makes sense. He's locked in with the job, but you know, there's a question mark. I could see Toronto, if they're in there, they could do with make a trade at the deadline that loses Romano mm-hmm. the job. But if you need saves early on, you said Joe Barlow, like that. Romano's definitely safer than Barlow, but I could see him losing it. But you need saves for the first 2 or 3 months, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a more locked-in sort of guy than Romano. And I think that makes him someone that I'll keep an eye on in fantasy. I wouldn't say he's a target, but he's someone I like because of the safety and let's face it, Toronto, as much as we don't like to admit it, as two fans in the AL East, they're going to be really, really good this year.
For sure, yeah. They've made a lot of good additions. And yeah, like if I miss out on Presley or Edwin Diaz or Iglesias and, you know, Romano sitting there, I have no worries at all drafting him.
So that's going to do it for this. I figured to end the show, since we're right around the end and we're previewing the American League, I want to throw some predictions out there. We're going to make our predictions for the American League divisions, who's going to win each division, sort of get there, get some predictions on the board so we can talk about who's right and who's wrong at the end of the season. We're not going to go crazy in depth, but we're just going to give our division winners maybe a quick early prediction for who's going to represent the AL in the World Series. Mm. So let's give it a go. Let's see how it's go since we're doing these sort of shows. So we're both AL East fans. We'll start off in the American League East. Who wins the AL East? I think we can rule Baltimore out, but the other four teams, it's fully up in the air.
Yeah, and more so than it has been in some time. Yeah. So, I mean, the team we just talked about, I really like what Toronto's done. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's really no issue. There's no, the rotation's great, good lineup. A bullpen probably could use another piece, but I think they'll go get it at the deadline. So yeah, I really like Toronto this year.
I agree with you. They've shown they're willing to make the move that's needed. If they need that reliever at the deadline, I could see Toronto mm-hmm. making that move. They're going to have no hesitation to add a reliever if need be. And that puts them in the edge. Their rotation's been really good. The Red Sox already hit with injuries. The Yankees are going to be good, but they're kind of right around Boston where, you know, they've made the moves, but were they the best moves in Tampa? They're always going to be good, but they haven't really made so many moves to improve. But I really like what Toronto's done, so I'm going to put them in first right now. But that you can make a case for all four of these teams. It's going to be a dogfight the entire season.
Yeah, it's going to come down to September here.
Yeah, over to the AL Central. I think we probably will be on the same page, but, you know, everyone's been making moves, and it's, I think 2 through 5 is going to be a dogfight, but I think it's safe to say I'm going with the White Sox to win the division. I think we'll be on the same page, but do you think differently?
No, yeah, it's going to be the White Sox, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Minnesota, you know, competes with, you know, just be they're being super aggressive, which no one really expected. So they're going to be a fun team to keep an eye on. And, you know, I think Detroit as well. Kansas City even has a couple, you know, they're kind of interesting. But yeah, it's the White Sox division to lose here.
Yeah, and I would even hard press say, don't watch out for Cleveland.
Yeah,
they don't seem it on paper, and I don't think they'll be as good. They should be getting some moves. They'd be a great fit for Conforto or Pham, who are free agents, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. You know, they have the pitching. They have Bieber's very good. I'm buying back into McKenzie, Savali. Yeah. They have a good team. They have a good pen. It wouldn't shock Terry Francona. Always makes the team play well, so I could see them hanging around. I think Chicago's clearly the favorite, but 2-5 is going to be another sort of dogfight. And finally, out west, is it still Houston's division to win, or has Seattle finally closed the gap?
I think Houston still is the favorite here, but yeah, Seattle's closing the gap. I feel like the Angels just have talent. They need one more starter. I think if they had one more starter, the Angels would be a serious like threat here. But maybe that happens within. Maybe they with someone, you know, maybe Patrick Sandoval takes a huge jump. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think Houston, this is going to be the first time in a while Houston's going to be really, like, you know, challenged in this division.
Yeah, I'll still put them at one. I'm still predicting win, but Seattle's right there. And if I was saying it right now, Seattle will only be out of that division by a game or two this season. They're going to be fighting them hard the entire season. There'll be another team like Toronto that if they need to make a move, they won't hesitate to make a move at the deadline. So I'm going to put Houston still at first, but Seattle's going to keep it very close. And that leads into the wild cards. Just a real quick thing. As of right now, I'm putting Seattle in as a wild card team, and then I'll put the Yankees and the Rays in. I'm sorry, Rick. Red Sox are missing the playoffs. I know. Trevor Story, blah, blah, blah. I can't not put the Yankees in. So I'm going to put the Mariners, Yankees, and Rays, not in that order, but they will be my three wild card teams. I'm guessing you're going to keep the Yankees out, but let's see if I'm wrong.
I think so. Yeah, the Red Sox do have some issues in their starting rotation. And even their bullpen's a little questionable, but I still think that they get a slight edge over the Yankees right now. Not being a homer, I'll take the Red Sox. I think the Angels finally, this is the year they finally sneak into a playoff berth, and I'm going to go with Seattle as well, and I'm going to leave Tampa Bay out.
I could see it. You know, they haven't fully done the upgrade. They are considering trading the outfield, so who knows what Tampa Bay. I just learned to never doubt them. We'll save World Series predictions for the very end, as Nick would say, we're running a little bit on time. So I'll wrap it up for this episode. Next week we're going to be diving into the National League. Do the same thing. I think the National League will provide a bit more conversation. I think there's a lot more bullpens in the National League that don't have that locked in closer. But, you know, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up for the American League? Is there anything that we may have missed?
I think that about covers everything. I'd say the National League definitely seems to have a little bit more, you know, meat on that bone as far as conversations go for closer roles. So, yeah, they'll be interesting next week.
Yeah, so keep an eye out. If you can follow me on Twitter at @Callen_Elslager. Follow the show at In The Pen Pod. We'll be posting these things. Keep an eye on our Twitters as we give you the latest news. We'll break down any injuries, any sort of manager remarks that we see before next episode. But Rick, give me one more time. I know you have their rear reliever rankings probably coming out again around that same time. So where can they find you on Twitter if they want to take a look at those?
Yeah, it's at I am Rick Graham on Twitter. And yeah, I actually got some rankings coming out today, which would be Wednesday, March 23rd. So yeah.
Keep an eye on those. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about. And if you want to discuss those with us as well, as you know, you can always tweet at us, but join PL Plus Discord. There's plenty. We're very active in there. Rick's always in the channel talking about relievers, answering some reliever questions. I'm chatting about everything baseball, just, you know, as well as, of course, relievers, since that's kind of sort of my job right now. But, you know, If you go to pitcherlist.com/PL+, you get all the benefits of that. We have a very active Discord where you can just hang out, talk about baseball. You feel like taking a break from talking baseball, there's plenty of off-topic channels. It is a great community that we're very fortunate to be a part of, that's for sure.
Definitely.
So that's going to do it for In the Pen. I am Callan, joined as always by Rick. And thank you for listening to the In the Pen podcast.